It's time for Be the Change on the State of Women Radio Network, a series of conversations focused on social entrepreneurship, leadership, and visionaries who are driving positive change in our world today. Subscribe to our podcasts and join in the conversation at thestateofwomen.com. Now, get ready to be the change.
Welcome to Be the Change on the State of Women Radio Network. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe.
And I'm Anu Bardwaj.
And we're so thrilled to welcome our guest today on the show, Shelly Zalis, the CEO of the Female Quotient and founder of Girls Lounge. Shelly, welcome on air with us today.
Thank you. I'm just so excited to be on this show with you today, especially bringing in the new year and talking about my favorite topic, which is called change and being the change that we want to be, being the change that we want to see. So thank you for having me.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, Shelly, to kickstart this conversation today, I want to talk about one of the most prominent topics of this conversation, which is the issue of gender inequality in the workplace. And if you would mind just telling us, where are we with this issue? How much progress have we made? How much progress continues to be, what we need to aspire to in this new year?
Yeah, I think we're actually going backwards. The World Economic Forum just published the most recent equality results by country. And, for example, the United States has dropped from the 28th place in the world to the 44th place in the world in just 1 year. So you really wonder, with all of these conversations about equality, why are we going backwards? And I really believe that it's a result of a couple of, reasons. One, we are admiring the problem. We keep talking about it, but we are not creating solutions for change. We're not creating next step solutions for change. I think the second is we're not creating measurement for accountability. It's been very easy to say, yes, we are committed to equality because we have a chief diversity officer so we can check off that box, but we're not creating that next step solution, holding ourselves accountable, which I think is a really big issue. And I think lastly, according to McKinsey, it says it's going to take over 100 years to reach parity at the pace that we're going. So unless we do something that is different than what we've been doing, because what we've been doing is not working, status quo will continue, and that will be a shame.
I think this really is a shocking statistic that you just brought up. I've been a part of Women Investing in Women for almost 3 years now. It's pretty crazy. And, there have been so many inspiring women doing all they can to try to encourage more diversity in the workplace. But to hear that the U.S., as a whole country, placed 44th, and that it will take 100 more years until we reach equality in the workplace, that's pretty shocking. I think people would think that it'd be the opposite, that we're actually getting better and that it won't take that long until we reach the point that we want to all be at. It just points to how much work we need to do and how we continue to make this part of our mission. Now, Shelly, can you explain some of the benefits of increased diversity in the workplace and in leadership positions and companies?
Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, if we do get this right, by advancing women's equality, we can add upwards of $12 trillion to global growth. So I think just number one, diversity is good for business. And, one of the things, just the basics, whenever I think about diversity, we always talk about gender, race, and sometimes we throw age in there, which, by the way, is a very important topic that we should discuss as well. But the truth is, it really is about diversity of mindset. Imagine if you have all of the same kinds of thinkers sitting around the table, nothing will evolve. Everything will be the same. So really having diversity of mindset at the table creates that energy, creates that, the different kind of energies that create complementary efforts. And when you're in a traditionally male-dominated culture and you're lacking women in the workplace, women are better multitaskers. We're more consumer-centric. We're better team builders. We're more nurturing. We're more collaborative. Those are skill sets and mindsets that we need at the table. And so we have to really start recognizing also not just the gender, male, female, but also the characteristics, the feminine and masculine characteristics of leadership, and they're both necessary. Men and women are all important. We're all equal. We're just different. And when we celebrate our differences and we own our own strengths, those are complementary, you know, strengths that make business better all around.
So I completely agree with you, Shelley. I've noticed in Scandinavian countries where it's not so much focused on male, female, but masculine, feminine. And I think in countries that embrace this observation, be it in Southeast Asia, like Bhutan, for instance, or also in Singapore and you know, some of the Asian countries, I think they've got a leg up, and we just need to start looking at those differences. And there was a book that came out probably about 2 years ago called The Athena Doctrine.
Yes, sure, John Gerstmann. Yes.
Exactly. So I think, you know, there's a lot to be learned from the new direction of how leadership is moving forward and the types of qualities that we need to embrace, and both on a political level, but also on a business front.
But if you think about business too, and the evolution of business from history, you know, in the last 10 years in particular, with the technological advancements, it's all about collaboration. And historically, it's been a very linear world of business. You know, we're pushing rules forward and people just have to embrace them. But today it's about collaboration. And what John Gerstmann in his book, The Athena Doctrine, really points out is one of the greatest characteristics of leadership is the power of collaboration and nurturing and empathy. And
absolutely,
those are female characteristics that are sorely missing. And when you look at the workplace today, we start 50-50. So that's not the problem. We end at about 17% in the C-suite. So the problem is in middle management. That's where we lose most of the women. And we call that the messy middle, because that's where women are in their opt-in, opt-out periods of their life. They're gaining more responsibility at home, more responsibility at work. They don't know what to do. And so we're losing our best leaders to caregiving. And caregiving is one of the most important characteristics of the most successful leaders today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Shelley, like we've talked about now, there are clear benefits to having more diversity and more gender equality in the workplace. But what does this exactly look like? Is it solely about equal representation on boards and leadership positions, or is it much more than that? What are some of the clear benchmarks to know that we are making progress?
You know, I'm playing with a new idea called the algorithm for equality, and I'm trying to find a way of equating what is the right proportion within companies. So one of the things that we're playing with is, you know, FQ plus FQ equals ROE. So you put females in the quota, so that's the number game, and you put feminine qualities into the talent pool, that's the skill set, strengths, and mindset, equals return on equality. And I think that every company will have different ratios for success, but it's at what level do you turn the table? And I think one of the problems we have is we put too high an expectation on ourselves, which scares us to go backwards, versus just looking at where are we. Don't be so hard on yourself. You are where you are. You can't change that. But how do you create for yourself that accountability for progress and improvement? Share it within, you know, amongst yourselves, and get your HR departments and your finance groups, and it starts at obviously the CEO, the leadership level, being open to, you know, what you're doing well and what you're not doing well. But you got to be honest with yourself first and acknowledge where you are. And then every year, look back and say, wow, look how far I've come in this metrics on closing the wage gap, or on unconscious bias, or on creating a culture of care, or on bringing more visibility to women doing great things. You know, pick where you want to go, because you can't do everything overnight. But decide for yourselves as a company, because every company is starting at different places. And make sure that you're continuously and always evolving and making progress. And share that progress. Share your successes. Share your failures. And don't give up. Keep going. There's always a solution.
Absolutely. And this leads to talking about your work with the female quotient. And first of all, if you could explain what the female quotient is And like you said, that every company and industry is different in how the female quotient is able to approach the advancement of gender equality in the workplace, acknowledging these differences.
Well, the female quotient came about because, you know, you always hear about IQ, the intelligence quotient, and then you hear about EQ, the emotional quotient. Well, now comes FQ, the female quotient. And that's how the name came about is, you know, when you put women in any equation, the equation gets better. And that's what's been missing. I don't know how many women we need to turn the dynamics and change the dynamics and bring that mindset to the table. But when you put women in any equation, the equation gets better. And that's where we started playing with, you know, the algorithm for equality. And pretty recently, I was with Pope Francis in the Vatican, and he said something to me that I will never forget. He said he will never make a decision without at least one woman involved in that decision, without one woman at the table. And
wow.
I think that's what we all have to be recognizing. It's not that we're just pushing women to fill a quota. I don't want to be a quota. You're bringing me to the table because I do bring empathy and compassion and passion and collaboration and, you know, not just looking at the numbers. I'm not a linear analytic thinker. I bring that other dimension. And so, you know, it really is bringing that to the forefront, not just saying having women at the table is a nice to have, but creating that business case, that business imperative for why diversity is important for business. And when people start looking at the financial bottom line and they see that women are contributing to their business success, I think they will then say it is a business imperative for us to have more, you know, diversity within our corporations today.
Right. I think, like you said, you know, having more diversity in the workplace isn't just a checkbox that can be marked off, you know, if you have, you know, a good representation of women in executive positions or in board positions. It's much more and much more important and deeper than that. And I think once people realize, you know, the benefits of, you know, greater diversity and, you know, promoting this change, the greater effect that we'll have. And I think, you know, what's really cool about the female quotient is the way that, you know, your company approaches this issue. And specifically, can you talk more about how the female quotient identifies and promotes the best practices that support women and girls in the workplace to achieve equality?
Yeah, I think we are creating a modern guide for equality. And, you know, that's one of the things that I go back and say to myself, how did we get here? You know, did corporations consciously, you know, discriminate against women? Of course not. I just believe it's a legacy issue because historically, when you look at the traditional corporations that were created over 100 years ago, women were not in the workplace. Women in the traditionalist generation, you know, the older generation, they were supposed to stay home and be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. I mean, that's what we always heard. And that's how media portrayed women, you know, always in the unprofessional, you know, in the kitchen roles. Which, by the way, is a great thing if you want to be that, you know, to opt in for that. But that was the expectation for women. And so the rules, historically, the cultural corporate rules have been written by men for men. I say they're alpha rules. And, you know, they're HIPPO, the highest paid person's opinion wins. And that highest paid person has been the CEO or the board that have been predominantly men. And they didn't have lifestyle or life stage conversations then. And the rules have just been, you know, dotted I's and crossing T's evolving. They've never been rewritten or reimagined. And today in the workplace, we have over four generations in the workplace today. You could say potentially five. But Gen Z entering the workplace for the first time, millennials, Gen X, boomers, and traditionalists. How do you create a culture today, a modern culture that incorporates multicultural generations in one place? And if you just look at retrofitting the rules, you're probably going to fail. And that's why some of the new companies today, the technology companies, the Facebooks, the Googles, the Twitters, the Salesforce, companies that have been created based on, you know, the digital age are creating rules for the digital natives, young people, and they're retrofitting and adapting for the older generation versus a culture that was written for the older generation and trying to adapt for, you know, the modern, the digital generation. And that is the biggest challenge. So we're creating this modern guide for equality to reimagine, to break the rules that don't make sense, reimagine the rules, write the new ones to reflect all the cultures that are currently in the workplace today. And the way we'll be implementing them is through equality boot camps inside of companies. Because maybe people don't know what to do. Maybe we're just looking at textbook, you know, rules that really don't work today. So we're really opening our minds, opening our hearts, and reimagining the workplace today.
So I'm going to jump in here, Shelley. I think you've nailed it when you said that there's a shift that's happening, and the leaders at this point are those digital companies. And I would say that one of the advantages of these new companies is social media, number one, mm-hmm. because women are able to get their voices out there more than they have before. You don't have to wait to get to the board level or whatever. You're able to participate in an easier way if it's more open to have conversations across, whether it be LinkedIn or Facebook or Snapchat or whatnot. And the other aspect of this in some of these digital companies is the introduction of both maternity as well as paternity leave, more flexible time for both fathers and mothers. And I know companies like Spotify are embracing this and companies like Facebook are embracing this. I'm not sure if Apple has introduced it yet or not, but it's innovative. And I know there's a company that we interviewed, Michelle, you and I, it's called Extend Fertility, mm-hmm. Way back when, mm-hmm. Where they were introducing paid storage of embryos, even reproductive endocrinology. So I think, you know, we really have to start thinking along those lines of family as opposed to individual. And how do you progress, you know, both male and female within the companies, not compromising, you know, careers based on reproductive abilities or inabilities for that matter. So I think, yeah, there is a shift that's happening. You have to look at the employee holistically, and that's what it's going to take.
Well, I think we also need to create customized incentives based on life stage, because there's no one size fits all. I mean, when you enter into different life stages, there's different, you know, needs at every life stage. And, you know, here's a perfect example of why we have to rewrite the rules. Maternity leave. Well, what if two men have a child together? That's not even reflected in how we think about parental leave. And then you've got these companies now saying, okay, we're so modern and forward-thinking, we're going to have paternity leave. But until you have the day where maternity, paternity are mandatory for men and for women, so mandatory parental leave, so that we put everyone back on the same playing field. Because if women opt into taking maternity leave, but men don't, we're back to unequal. So we have to equalize, level the playing field for everyone. That why shouldn't men, any parent that has a child, have the same flexibility and make it mandatory? And maybe it's not even saying, you know, take 3 months so you're with your child the first 3 months. Maybe it should be mandatory parental leave for 3 months over 2 years and take it as you wish, so that we build in that flexibility as well. So choice, flexibility, freedom, life stage, lifestyle, all can come into play. And these are such easy things to do.
I agree with everything that's being said, especially that a lot of the action involved in trying to create equality in the workplace and to encourage more diversity has to come from the companies themselves, and specifically in trying to make sure that the company culture reflects a willingness and an ability to want that change. But company culture is often very deep-rooted and not always easy to change. So how does the female quotient work with companies to help overcome these challenges and build a culture that encourages equality?
I think it's really just making companies aware of the generations in the workplace today and their needs, their expectations. And if companies want to attract and retain the best talent, they're going to need to adapt and reimagine, you know, their culture. I mean, when you look at millennials today, they have a 3-year span. I mean, they'll come and stay, you know, in companies for about 3 years. And if you want them to stay in your company, especially after you spend so much time grooming and training them, you're going to need to change the rules. And the companies that don't will have FOMO factor down the road. They will have fear of missing out because they're going to be the ones holding out with, oh, this is how we do things, and people will just need to come on board. But as you said, with technology and social media today, people are publishing the best companies to work for today. And if you're not on that list, you're not going to get the best talent, and you'll get the leftovers. And that's going to be a problem.
So in that case, do you think that employees have greater power now more than ever to help be part of the change of a company culture?
I think it's very important. I think a company culture needs to be created by and for the employees in that company. And I'm not to say that everyone should be writing the rules, but I think listening to what your employees want and need, and I think a lot of that, especially for women, you know, it is, of course, money, but it's also meaning. A lot of the millennials today, they have purpose in their DNA. They want to work for companies that care. And mobility, flexibility, and lifestyle. These are all really important issues, you know, for people in general, but women really do want those three things: money, meaning, mobility. And I think we need to be listening to that and, you know, like I said, rewriting the rules to really adapt to today's, you know, modern mindset.
Amazing. Well, Shelley, I love the way that this conversation is going. It is so relevant and so important for so many of our listeners to be paying attention to, as it really affects everyone in their life. And yeah, I think it's an amazing conversation to be had. We are going to invite all of our listeners to go ahead and connect with us by going to our Facebook page and to be sure to follow us on Twitter at Women Investing. Right now we are going to go to a short break, but if you are a premium subscriber, be sure to keep listening in because we have more with Shelley talking about the Girls Lounge. But for right now, thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Be the Change. The show is produced by the State of Women Radio Network, the first radio network for women and girls. Right now, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe.
And I'm Anu Bharadwaj.
Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Our discussion continues as we dive in even deeper for our premium subscribers. Click the link for information on exclusive access, premium content, and ad-free listening. Subscribe to our podcasts, join in the conversation on Facebook, and find all of the information you're looking for at thestateofwomen.com.